Thousands of asylum seekers have been sent to Mexico from the U.S. to wait for their time in immigration court. It's part of a new policy. A lot of these migrants have settled in border towns where they live in extreme poverty and are vulnerable to crime, and legal assistance is highly needed. And that's why a group of Chicago area activists spent a weekend at the border recently. WBEZ's Adriana Cardona-McGee God followed them on their journey.
The 10 activists traveled to Matamoros, Mexico earlier this month. Hundreds of migrants have set camp in a plaza by the foot of the bridge that connects Matamoros with Brownsville, Texas.
Just be patient because we don't know exactly what we're going to encounter.
Moni Ruiz Velasco is with PASO, West Suburban Action Project. She organized the trip. Ruiz Velasco has partnered with Texas immigration attorney Jody Goodwin, who's been busy over the last 16 months helping asylum seekers.
It's crazy, it's unorganized, it's chaos.
For years, Goodwin has dealt with the constant changes in immigration policies, but this, she says,
the human tragedy element that is thrown on top of it has made this truly the most soul-crushing work I've ever done.
We crossed the Mexican immigration checkpoint Saturday morning. Goodwin is leading us to the migrant camp. The activists are pushing two wagons with folding chairs, clipboards, asylum applications. Once we get there, some look for the shadiest spot to start the interviews. It's an overwhelming sight. Entire families with infants, women breastfeeding, children running around. Dozens of tents are pitched. Many more are scattered outside the area. But the farther away, the riskier it gets. In Matamoros, migrants are vulnerable to crime, extortion, and violence. Those who came to the training get in line right here, Goodwin says. Those who were not in the training, you'll have to wait. She's been helping migrants understand how the immigration system works in the U.S. and how they need to prepare to file for asylum. Goodwin has recruited an assembly line of attorneys and others to help process asylum applications. The activists from Chicago are among the recent recruits.
Okay, how are we going to divide people up?
The site, just like Goodwin described, is busy and organized. Breakfast is being served at the same time we arrive. Children run to be first in line. I glance at the people from Chicago, and some are quiet, observing.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Kambach-Clark is one of them.
I don't know. It's hard to put it into words.
She's with the National Immigration Justice Center.
It's pretty crazy to see this. Like, literally on the doorstep of the richest country in the world.
The migrants in the plaza are mostly from Honduras, Cuba, El Salvador, and Guatemala. They live there with no running water. Migrants wash their clothes and bathe by the Rio Grande, a few steps away from the camp. A woman from Honduras complains local authorities recently shut down the only source of clean water they have. She tells me the river water is making the children sick. Some add bleach to kill the bacteria before washing off with it. I spot a woman cleaning her baby with a bottle of water. The legal assistance is critical for these migrants. They don't speak English and don't know how to defend themselves in front of a judge. Carlos, who's there with his wife and his 17-month-old daughter, has a court hearing in December. I'm not using his real name to protect his identity. Back in Honduras, his home country, criminal groups demanded ransoms in exchange for safety, he says. When he couldn't make payments, they opened fire on their house. Carlos and his wife went to the local police. They were promised help and confidentiality. But 4 days later, a group of men broke into their home, pushed his daughter from her mother's arms, and raped his wife, he says. Carlos says he's been thinking about crossing the Rio Grande with his wife and daughter. He didn't know a migrant from El Salvador had recently drowned with his daughter trying to cross the river. But Carlos is getting tired of waiting. He says all he wants is an opportunity to work and give his daughter and wife a better life. We Hondurans are hardworking people. We won't let you down, he says, breaking into tears. Most of the humanitarian aid comes from groups in Brownsville and nearby towns in Texas. Every week, school teachers bring school supplies, including notebooks and coloring pens. Juan David Lucio is one of them.
We're just trying to teach them a little bit of English to keep their hopes alive.
For about an hour on Sundays, the migrant children experience what it's like to be in a classroom. Some are more engaged than others. Some kids try to sing along, but they don't know the lyrics. I ask a boy from Honduras if there is a song in Spanish that he remembers. Before answering, he starts singing. His mom has been trying to locate her other son. They were separated when they were detained by U.S. immigration officials. The Chicago activist heard one story after another. One of the hardest of hours for some of them was lunchtime at a restaurant called Garcia's. With big, tall windows overlooking the plaza, it offers a three-course meal. It has air conditioning, jazz music playing in the background. For Annette Uriostegui, one of the activists with PASO, the restaurant became a metaphor for the disparity at play in front of us, the haves and have-nots.
A part of me felt like, do I even want to eat right now? In the U.S., unfortunately, I feel like we take everything for granted. You know, it's so heartbreaking.
Some of the activists told me no news article could have prepared them for what they saw and heard. Now, after visiting the border, new images have come alive. Migrants waiting, laughing, praying, and staring vacantly across the bridge. The activists helped some of them, but there is a lot more to be done. Ruiz Velasco says she's planning a second visit and taking more people from Chicago to Matamoros to help. Adriana Cardona Magigad, WBEC News.